So, really, it... You picked a bad time, Jelly. Today was an off day. Yes.
That was perfect.
Thanks for joining us for episode 4.
If it's your first time, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back.
Tiny Morbid Fantasies is now available on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, and Google Podcasts.
So this is Andrea.
And I'm Sophia. And we have a few stories for you this week, including an original by me and a continuation by Andrea.
Yeah, this is going to be part 3 of The Long Drive Home. And what's the name of your story?
So my story is written in Japanese katakana characters that represent fu, re, and shu. So together it's called fureshu, which can be kind of interpreted however you'd like, fresh or flesh.
All right, so just a few housekeeping things first. When we start our podcast, I'm kind of jealous of this because I noticed a difference between just our podcast and other podcasts I listen to. They get to drink wine and booze, but we record in the morning and we're not alcoholics, so we can't drink
No.
We can't drink at 9 in the morning.
But we also are so tired at night that recording at night, we have tried and we just go low energy immediately. And I think most of the time I end up falling asleep or very close to it.
Or we go off topic. We go way off topic.
Oh, yeah. More so than usual.
And it becomes a rambling podcast about
mess.
Whatever pops in our minds.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No. So we have a ritual. We start off every recording session with a cup of coffee, and I make tea. And if you've seen our Instagram posts, you'll see that there's usually a few mugs in the photos.
No less than 3 mugs.
No less than 3 mugs at all times. But this morning, for this week, we're drinking Earl Grey, as usual. But it is called Victorian Earl Grey, and it's made by Tea by the Sea in Cape May, New Jersey, which is adorable.
It's kind of fruity. I have like a fruity.
Oh, there's rose petals in it.
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's fancy.
It's super fancy.
Yeah, I have an Earl Grey addiction, and I get real fancy with it, so you're welcome.
I feel like I'm underdressed to drink this tea.
Just put your pinky out. Everything will be fine.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Next time, we'll have to bring, like, biscuits or something. I feel like I don't come with anything.
You're bringing the entire podcast here, and you're our producer, so it's literally the least I can do.
Yeah, you know what? I bring enough.
You bring enough to the table, so this is my gift to you and us, and I'm happy to provide, so. So, yeah, this is our little ritual before we start. Should we get into it?
That was pretty much it. Just me being jealous of other podcasts that get to drink alcohol while they podcast. We are going to do it for, I think, episode 10. Oh. We're going to have some mimosas, I think.
Mimose.
That'll be our morning drinks.
Anyway, so this is my story. Fureshu. Today was an off day. All of my friends decided they wanted to ignore me, but I can't think of any reason why. We hung out last night, but we didn't get drunk or anything. We were all kinds of bored and had nothing else to do. I kept running through what I could have done or said to make them all ignore me like this. It's weird because the last time I pissed one of them off, they at least looked at me and gave me a stank eye. This time was different. We always hang out before first bell since our classes don't really line up throughout the day. Today, no one was there. First period I have with Emma, but she wasn't in today. At least Alex would be in my second period class, but he never even showed up. Mrs. Anderson was doing prep for our next test, which was strange because they don't just miss class and they especially don't play hooky on a test prep day. Chloe passed by me on my way to third period, but she ignored me when I called out to her. This interaction in particular stung hard. Chloe and I were close. Not best friends, but good runners up for each other. Could I really have messed up so badly last night that I pushed everyone away? Was it so bad that they all decided to avoid me like this? I mean, come on, they even missed test prep because of this. All day I felt like I was floating along. I got wrapped up in my own emotions, especially self-pity. I didn't pay attention in my other classes, didn't even go to the cafeteria for lunch. If they were so mad at me, I was going to punish them and not give them the satisfaction of ignoring me at lunch too. Maybe it was the anger from all the stress, but my body started aching and tensing up. My legs were stiff, and walking was becoming more and more painful. My joints were locking up for some reason. The anger took over, and I trudged on despite the pain. With only one period left, I decided to ditch and head over to Alex's to see if I could catch him and ask him what's going on. He only lives a few blocks from school, so at least I know I can make it over there, even with the pain in my body. There aren't any cars in the driveway when I get there. His parents must still be at work. I try the door, and it's locked, so I ring the bell. Silence. Not even a stir. It's a small one-story house you can see straight through to the back door. The light was streaming in, and there was no movement at all. Frustrated, I turn around and head home. My parents just left for vacation a few days ago, so the house will be empty when I get there. At least I can go and sleep this all off. Hopefully all the stress will go away when I get some sleep. On the walk over to my house, I started to smell something putrid. Any gust of wind that blew by, I caught a whiff of it. At first, I thought it could be garbage day or fresh mulch, but there was no garbage cans on the sidewalk or new mulch around anyone's gardens. Another gust of wind, and I was faced with the smell again. I took a chance and smelled the front of my shirt just in case I forgot my deodorant. And it was me. This horrible smell was coming from me. It smelled oddly sweet, but sharp, and kind of stung my nose. I've never had BO like this before. My pace picked up. I wanted to rush home and take a shower before I could even think of going to sleep. Around the corner from my house, I could see Emma's car parked on my street. As I get closer to my house, I could see Chloe's car in my driveway. Why are they both in my house? Chloe didn't even talk to me today, and now she's at my house. All the curtains and shades were drawn shut. We always leave the shades up. There's no reason they would be put down. The whole situation seems odd, so I decided to go around the back of the house and surprise Chloe and Emma. I'm sure Alex is with them. Where else would he be? I try to be quiet as I open the door and the privacy fence, and I think I succeed. As I get a better look into the backyard, I see Emma, Chloe, and Alex huddled together in my backyard. They each have a shovel in their hands, and they are pale and dirty. I can't move. As I stare at them, they all look like they've been crying, red, puffy faces, and a look that I've never seen before. There is a collective sigh as they pick up what looks like a rolled-up rug and start to lower it down into the newly dug earth. There's long hair coming out of the end of one side of the rug, and a few toes visible on the other. The nail polish on the toes is an electric blue. It is the same color I always used on my own toes. As I look down and see the same color on my gray, fleshy feet, for the first time all day, Chloe's looking straight at me. She dropped her part of the rug and stood still with her eyes wide. I tried waving at her, but my arms wouldn't move. The rug was snug around my body, and the sound of dirt was quickly muffling the sounds of my friends quietly sobbing as Alex and Emma finished shoveling the last bits of dirt into my grave.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you. My tiny morbid fact.
Oh, yay.
This is kind of based on a few things from Japanese mythology. So one is the Kyonchi, which is the Japanese version of Chinese hopping vampire known as Jiangshi in Chinese. Mm-hmm. I don't speak Chinese. I don't know if I'm messing up that pronunciation.
It sounds good to me.
Thanks.
But I also don't speak Chinese.
Same. So what it is a corpse that's reanimated due to possession or supernatural resurrection. There's a whole slew of things that could have resurrected the body. But because it's an unnatural being, it's kind of hopping around and it hasn't had a ritual burial of sorts. So there's another version of Japanese mythology that's called a yurei. And that's a corpse that is ghoulish or animated, kind mm-hmm. of like the kyonshi, that is stiff and basically it is only in existence until it's buried
oh, okay.
and has had a ritual of sorts performed on it. The reason that the person was alive the whole time and in school, you know, not interacting with anybody is because it was a ghostly spirit. And when they were putting it in the grave is when the ritual was completed and came back to its body. I wanted to explain that because it doesn't necessarily make sense that you're from one side of the backyard and then all of a sudden you're in the grave, but mm-hmm. they're performing the ritual as the person's kind of going into the backyard and seeing their friends hovering over this presumably corpse, you know, of themselves. And yeah, I thought that would be kind of a cool part to like tie it all together and finalize it. Like, no, you're dead.
Yeah, that brought it all together. I liked it. That was a good story.
Thank you.
Also, yeah. It sucks. They still had to go to school.
I mean, if you're dead, you would think you wouldn't have to do that, but there was no self-actualization until they saw that nail polish.
Can you imagine having to go to work and then just finding out you're dead and be like,
I could have done so many other things.
I've been doing ghosty things.
I could have spied on people. That's creepy. All right. No, there's no coming back from that, right?
I was thinking, like, you know, my first thought, when and if I can become a ghost, I'm going to haunt people. I would like to scare people.
I mean, that's a good part, too. I guess I just...
Or work on knocking stuff over. That's just me, though. I guess it's more of like a poltergeist kind of thing. There's different levels of ghost. I would try to work my way up.
That just reminds me of the part in Ghost when he's on the subway train and the guy just keeps telling him to get off his train, but then he teaches him to finally move a bottle cap.
Was it a bottle cap or a penny?
It was a penny. Okay. You're right. It was a penny.
Either way, yeah. I would start small, and then I would work my way up to, like, knocking over mugs and taking pictures off of walls.
But I think your first step is to go to 80s New York and ride that subway car with that guy.
I would try time traveling.
Yeah.
I would try it all.
Gain his trust.
Got nothing but time. So before I start my story, just like a quick little recap. This is The Long Ride Home, and this is part 3. So if you haven't heard part 1 or 2, you might be a little lost. And I would recommend going back and listen to our episode 2 and 3 had the first part. So this is episode 4, which has the last part of the story. And then after this, I'll try to keep all of my stories as just one solid chunk.
No, I like this.
Yeah, this is going to be the last part of A Long Drive Home, featuring Paul. Once he was well within the safety of the trees, Paul turned the flashlight on. It was weak and barely lit 2 feet in front of him, but it was all he had. He walked quickly yet cautiously as he made his way over fallen trees and through thick bushes. He couldn't stop until he reached some sign of civilization. Looking up, he found the North Star and began heading towards it. After 10 minutes of walking, he reached a dirt path. It could lead him to safety, or it could lead him back to the farm. From behind him in the distance, 2 gunshots rang out. Paul chose to keep following the stars, which led him through the trees on the opposite side of the path. Motivated by the gunshots, his pace became hurried and reckless. The ledge of a small cliff came upon him quickly. He started to tumble. Slide, really. The muddy leaves made for a smooth but rocky slide down into the small creek below. As he sits in the water, catching his breath, he makes sure all of his limbs are in working order. Besides a few scratches and being covered in mud, he was unharmed. He begins washing himself off in the creek when the familiar sound of a train is heard. He runs across the creek towards the sound. It's getting louder as he closes in on the tracks. Paul has never been so happy to see a freight train in all his life. He sees an upcoming car with a ladder he can grab onto. First, he wipes his hands onto his shirt to remove some of the mud. Then he begins to sprint alongside the train to build up some speed. When the time comes, he reaches out and leaps onto the side of the boxcar. He only went up a couple steps to have something to rest his feet on. It was the first time he felt at ease. It looks like he's finally going to make it home. Ahead, he can see the alternating red lights of a railway crossing. As the train speeds by, past the intersection, he can make out a gas station he recognizes. After a few more minutes, the trees begin to part, and he can see the road and houses running along the tracks. He's only a few miles from home. The train begins to slow as it reaches an upcoming track crossing. Then it came to a stop. There must be a train coming from the opposite direction. Paul took this opportunity to hop off and walk the rest of the way home. Briefly, he thought about hitchhiking. But knowing his luck, he would get picked up by some sort of psychopath out looking for hitchhikers to murder. In light of his situation, he managed to chuckle at the thought. He ultimately decides to walk instead. It was late, so cars passing were few and far between. To be safe, anytime he saw headlights, he would hide as best he could, behind trash cans, bushes, or in the shallow roadside ditch. Thankfully, it was a country road, so traffic was light. After an hour, Paul made it to his doorstep. He reached in his pocket for his keys. Somehow, he forgot that they took everything. He cautiously looked around before bending down and grabbing his spare key from underneath a small ceramic frog. Exhausted, Paul locked the door behind him and leaned against it for a moment. With a huge sigh of relief, he dragged himself into his bedroom, where he collapsed onto his bed, muddy clothes and all. He's so happy this day has finally come to an end. He will go to the police in the morning. The adrenaline is wearing off, and for now, all he can think of is rest. Paul's body relaxes as he drifts to sleep. If only he had taken a moment to look around the bedroom. Maybe he would have seen the shadowed figures in the corners of the room. Maybe he would have heard the footsteps as they approached. Maybe he could have fought them off as the two men pinned him down and slit his throat. Maybe.
Paul! Oh, yeah. You stupid dude. Come on.
But also, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Nobody makes it out alive.
I'm just kidding about that. Well, I mean...
Not if I have anything to say about it.
I was thinking about that when they took his keys and everything. Then they have his address.
But you wouldn't think of that if you're just escaping cannibalistic, crazy people in the woods. But, oh, would you like to know a tiny morbid fact?
Of course.
It's not a morbid fact, but I'm going to call it a tiny morbid fact because it's just something I looked up or had to look up when I was getting information about freight trains.
Yes.
There is a Wikipedia for hitchhiking called HitchWiki. It is a specific Wikipedia page for hitchhikers, and there is a special section on train hopping, and it gives you the advantages and disadvantages. It gives you safety tips. It gives you country guides. So depending on where you're train hopping, I wrote down the countries, the U.S., of course, Europe, Russia, Asia, and Australia. It gives you different routes and different train types because hopping on a freight train is different than hopping on an electrical train, apparently. You gotta watch out for different wires and stuff. So it gives you tips. I think it was hitchwiki.org.
I'm overwhelmed, but yes.
Yeah, you can learn how to train hop.
I like
that. Which I did. I'm not gonna do it.
No.
But just for the sake of Paul, I was like, well, I don't know how to hop on a train. You always get a running start first. That's obvious.
I mean, I've watched Me, Myself, and Irene, I think. Wow, I like that they break it up by region.
And train type.
And train type.
And their safety tips. Be safe.
I would imagine, though, like, I would not try that crap in Asia, any country in Asia. I just feel like if you tried that ish in Japan, like, you would get severely hurt. And there's cameras.
But Asia also includes India, which...
Okay. Oh, I imagine you looked that part up, yeah.
I had to be thorough.
I mean, we've all seen pictures of the trains in India where people are on the top of the train, like three deep.
It's scary, but they say it's the best way if you want to get like fresh air and not want to feel cramped.
Don't look at me that way. I'm looking at you that way.
I was looking into it. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You don't want to feel claustrophobic. You get a nice breeze. You can breathe.
You grab onto the person underneath you and to the side of you.
But you can also get arrested if you get caught. Usually, the people who got arrested were in the U.S. by the people who check the trains. Only it stops, though. So if you hop off while it's still moving or at a cross track where they have to stop to let another train pass, there's not anyone checking the cars at that point. So that's a good place to get off.
Okay.
But if you make it to a rail station, you know, you're probably going to get caught. And you can get arrested. It is illegal, even though there's a wiki page telling you how to do it.
Yeah, so use precaution and some common sense when you decide to train hop.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's slightly morbid. I've seen documentaries about, you know, people who live that nomadic lifestyle. And I gotta say, that stuff is scary for anybody.
There's a wiki for it, so at least they're being smart about it.
Yeah, it's morbid in the way that it's like saying, don't die.
So those are our stories for today. I hope you enjoy them.
Yes.
That's the end of Paul's journey, so I hope you enjoy that.
And if you liked these stories, please check us out on Twitter at Tiny Morbid and on Instagram and Reddit at Tiny Morbid Fantasies.
And to be featured in an upcoming episode, send in your stories to tinymorbidfantasies@gmail.com.
So, yeah, until next time, goodbye.
Bye.